Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Friday, May 15th, 2026. Damn, we are halfway through the month. And what that means is we got the Subway Series beginning tonight. Now, we're going to do a full preview and touch on that later on in full depth. It's a very critical and important Subway Series for both teams. Mets are all of a sudden getting hot. They just swept Detroit. Yankees have lost 5 of 6. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But you guys know I tune into the radio quite often. I listen to majority ESPN these days because WFAN has unfortunately fallen off quite a lot. But anyways, I was tuned into the Michael Kay show yesterday, and that gives us our main headline for today, chat, which I'm not sure if anybody heard. I posted on Yanks Ave yesterday the Buster only soundbite, but that's going to be our lead story today. We're going to get right into it. Click like on the stream if you do not mind. Of course, we're also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of that. So Subway Series, we'll preview that later on, but let's start out with this. And we got to start out by playing the soundbite from yesterday. Now, this is speculation. This is no longer an internal thought by Buster only. He said it yesterday on the K-Show. But anyways, he was talking about the Yankees' urgency so far this year, which, you know, we've been pushing back on, and it's since been confirmed by Brian Cashman that it's more so about the Yankees' depth this year compared to years past and them just using that depth. And that depth is being used significantly due to injuries. But anyways, that's all neither here nor there. Let's get into the soundbite. Here's Buster only talking about what the Yankees could possibly do with Jazz if he doesn't start hitting over the next 2.5 months.
I'm going to be really curious to see what happens with Jazz here over the next 2.5 months. You know, he at some point, especially because they don't have a future tied to him. This is not a second year player where he's going to be under team control for the next 4 years, and you're maybe going to have more patience as they did with Volpe. He's a free agent at year's end. And at some point, they're going to need better production out of that position. And I'm sure that there are going to be market opportunities for trades or internally.
Market opportunity for trades or internally. So there's two different lanes to go with here. Really quick, I forgot to mention off the top, we still do not have an update on Max Fried just yet. So we're still waiting the results of his MRI that he got on his left elbow. Hopefully he's all good. But follow Yanks Ave. I'll post the second we find out over there. But anyways, back to this. So what Buster only says is whether it be internally or externally, the Yankees could possibly make a move at second base if Jazz Chisholm Jr. does not start hitting. Now, obviously, we're all well aware, if you're watching this show, you're probably a Yankee fan, that Jazz has been pretty bad so far this year. And coming off a 30-30 season, which, you know, OPS above 800, his WAR had him as the second best second baseman in baseball behind Ketel Marte last year. It was a good year. Now, in hindsight, looking back at some other numbers, really just, I'm not a huge batting average guy these days, although I think it has its place. Batting average with runners in scoring position, I do still put a good amount of stock into. And Jazz was in the low 200s last year, but that's neither here nor there. If he were to have put up, and he still could, I guess, put up a good year, but at this point, he's nowhere close to his production from 2025. As Buster only says, another 2.5 months, if he's not doing this, he is speculating that the Yankees could make a move. And externally, we can have that conversation, although I would say it's much more likely it would be internally. And you guys probably know where I'm going there. But if the Yankees were to actually consider doing this, and I like what he said there, where it's not a thing that Jazz is in year two, year three, and he's got 3 more years of control after this. Obviously, we know Jazz is a free agent come season's end. And that's the headline here. It's not the Yankees could move on from Jazz after this season. That I am sure certainly will be the case. But possibly by the trade deadline. That's why we say the next 2.5 months. That's talking about the deadline coming up. So whether it be going out and getting another second baseman, which, listen, I mean, there are some options out there. I don't think Ketel Marte would be the way to go. But just a quick few minutes on if they were to go that route. You know, Ketel Marte's off to a brutal start, but obviously we would want him. I wouldn't bank on that. Some other options being Xavier Edwards of the Marlins, switch hitter, not a great defender, but hits for a high average. The other guy that actually is pretty interesting is Luis Arraez. Now, I know that's a name that, you know, old heads love, the nerds don't. I think both go a little too hard on each end of the pendulum. But what's interesting about Luis Arraez so far this year is that he has actually really good defensive metrics at second base. He's +4 defensive runs saved, +8 outs above average. We know he can hit for average. He's doing that so far this year at a 302 clip. And San Francisco, they beat the Dodgers a couple times, so they're probably going to be out of it and maybe selling come the deadline. So Arraez could be available. We're not going to spend too much time on the actual specifics. We got plenty of time to do that if it's an actual conversation, but there are options out there and options that right now seem like that would be an improvement, an upgrade over what Jazz has been so far this year, which is a batting average in low 200s. He's often not coming through with runners in scoring position. He's really not hitting for power outside of like a week or two where it seemed like he was getting hot. And I'm still holding out hope that he could get hot. But then you could get into the conversation, what exactly does a hot Jazz Chisholm Jr. mean? No matter what, he's a streaky player. I like Jazz, but the real thing that gets me hung up on him is if we were to move on, the loss of his defense. Because say what you will, Jazz, while a mental mistake here and there, he is a terrific defensive second baseman. And that's not something that you can just easily, you know, put away, even with the offensive struggles. And that's part of why I love his team so much, especially with Caballero when he's healthy. The defense is some of the best we've had, I think the best we've had in the Judge era, and Jazz is a part of that. So not all of his game is bad, but offensively, obviously, it has been. So with that in mind, and just assuming externally maybe isn't an option, if I had to guess, I shouldn't say it's not an option. If I had to guess, I don't think they'll go externally at second base. Internally, though, obviously, George Lombard Jr. continues to, you know, accelerate his way towards the big leagues, got promoted to AAA a couple weeks ago, struggling so far, but it's such a small sample size, and, you know, what are you going to do? But defensively, no, he is sound in any position, whether it be shortstop, long-term, that's where he'll be. He's played some third base. He's also played some second base. So on the conversation of internally, which is Buster says externally or internally, that's the number one route. Now, you could also have Volpe play second base. That I am totally good off of. Barring him, you know, showing us something offensively over the next, what is now, 7 days left of Caballero's IL stint, I don't think any Yankee fan is looking at second base and thinking, okay, I'm down for an alternative. I want that alternative to be Anthony Volpe. Maybe come next year, that would be the plan, possibly, where, you know, Jazz is a free agent and then you have some sort of a competition at second base. But if we're talking this year, 2.5 months from now, trade deadline, there's a change by then. If Jazz isn't hitting and he could start to hit, which I pray to God he does. I really do, obviously. That could be the lane for George Lombard Jr. to get up here. And he plays second base. Or you could obviously have him play shortstop and Caballero goes to second. I've come to the conclusion, which this is not a hot take whatsoever, but I was thinking about it last night. You know, we talk about the difference of this team. The biggest difference is Jose Caballero at shortstop. I want him at shortstop. He's going to be the shortstop. We know come his return, that is the plan. But it's so obvious, but also just thinking about it, like that is a big reason why I love this team so much. I want him to stay there. So in the meantime, who's texting me? In the meantime, just getting his bat up at second base, I certainly would be down to do that. We know long term he's the guy that's going to be at short. But for this year, the fast track to get him up here may be a position that's not shortstop. And that could be third base. That could be second base. Now, McMahon started to hit. Lately, he's been coming back down to earth. Just over a few games, and you got Rosario as well, but just going off of this report that the Yankees, and this is Buster only more so speculating, but he is an insider, and what he says is you know, significant enough to talk about. This being a possibility does get me a little bit excited, and that would go along more so than any other storyline with the urgency factor with the Yankees this year. If they were to be actually willing to consider alternate options than Jazz Chisholm Jr. at second base, I would be very impressed, very impressed. Now, again, I want Jazz to do well, and he still could pick it up, and maybe he does. But for right now, he's not hitting. And from what Olney says, if he continues to not hit over the next couple months, there could be a change made. And that could be externally. Maybe they make a trade, a loose arise. Xavier Edwards from Miami, Ketel Marte if you want to dream big, although he's off to a really slow start, but who really cares about that? He's really good. I think it's George Lombard Jr. This could be his way to get up here. Caballero is going to be the shortstop, and he should be the shortstop. Granted, why I like Caballero a lot is because of the defense, and it's been great. Lombard, we know, is a great defensive glove at shortstop as well, and really anywhere you put him. That's something I get excited about in the future. We still have to see how he would pan out offensively. Again, I know he's struggling at AAA, but it's such a small sample size. Let's not even pay any attention to that. If he's still hitting 200 by the time, you know, mid-July comes, we're not talking about this. But this could be the lane for Lombard Jr. If Jazz does not start hitting, and you get to July, and Lombard is hitting in AAA, at least to a degree, you know what his glove is going to be. That's a very, at least maybe with Buster only now in my head, like that's a very tangible idea that actually could happen. And it gets me excited. And as I mentioned, I would be very impressed with the Yankees if this is something they're already even considering. And I wouldn't blame them if they do. Like, it's frustrating watching Jazz. It is. Now, on the topic of trades, which I have another trade thing to discuss in just a moment. I know it's early, but you know, this kind of gets us into the next thing here. But we've seen the Yankees make deals early. remember 2019, June of 2019, when they acquired Edwin Encarnacion, that came out of nowhere. It was like really this time next month, or next month in 2019, June 15th, I believe was the date, where they made a blockbuster deal for Edwin Encarnacion with the Seattle Mariners. And that came out of nowhere. I remember I was still working at Verizon at the time, and I was like mid-selling an iPhone, whatever it was, X. And I was like, excuse me, ma'am, I got to go to the bathroom real quick. Post on Yanks Ave. Yankees just got Edwin Encarnacion. And it was so out of nowhere because, one, it wasn't really so much on the Yankees' radar. They're just looking to get a bat at that time. You know, our offense was raking, but Stanton was hurt, and the Yankees, at least their opinion, had a need. And they just, early on in June, obviously that's very, I don't want to say premature. It was awesome that they did that. But anyways, point is, there could be deals made early. I don't think that'll apply to second base, but I've given my thoughts on that. It's at the very least interesting that this could be an option, that the Yankees would be willing to move Jazz off of second base and kind of just go a different route if he doesn't start hitting, which, word up, you know, like consequences. I like that. And we just got to, we need offense. Not dramatically, but for right now, it feels dramatically because we're not hitting. But even so, like when things are going well, you can't have multiple black holes in your lineup. You can get by with one. You can win a World Series with one black hole. You know, if other guys are hitting and it's just Austin Wells also getting his defensive production, you could live with that. Or if everybody else was hitting and it was just Jazz who wasn't, but you have his defense at second base, you could live with that. But for right now, it's more of a glaring issue and it gets the conversation rolling. And with that in mind, again, I'm totally open to this idea and I think it's quite fascinating, the possibility of it. With that said, I want to get into this really quick. So I know it's early, but we just kind of laid the groundwork for this. But I would be very interested to see if the Yankees could try to pull off a trade for Ryan Jeffers soon. Now, I have a couple thoughts on this. And when I say soon, it's not going to be the month of May. It probably wouldn't be the month of June. It would likely still bank on the idea of the trade deadline if they were to make a deal or any deal. It's likely towards the latter part of July. But again, going off of what we said about Encarnacion, how that has happened before. The precedent under my Yankee fan watching era has been set that a deal like this could go down earlier than you think. And that's kind of what I want to get at here with getting Ryan Jeffers. The Yankees should try to get this done. I say soon, but I couldn't fit it entirely. Sooner rather than later. If you can pull this deal off before July 31st, try to get it done. We know we need right-handed bats more than ever, especially with Stanton out. By the time this deal would even be like a thought, a true thought, a conversation, Stanton would be back. Jason would be back. But I have another question I think is more interesting than just the idea of getting this done sooner rather than later. But for those who don't know, he's with the Twins. We've talked about him a lot. And, you know, as the months go on, you'll hear anytime the Yankees or fans are talking about moving off of Austin Wells, which they're not going to move off of Austin Wells. He is great defensively behind the plate. And, you know, there's a lot of value with that, not just so much with the framing. He's been pretty damn good with ABS. But also, like, the pitching staff is very comfortable with him, and that's important. Hopefully he starts hitting soon. But nonetheless, we have two lefty catchers. We're well aware of that. We talked about that a million times. Wells and Escobar. If you count Rice, that's three lefty catchers. You need a righty platoon bat no matter what, whether it's Jeffers or somebody else. You got to have an option to where when, you know, the day that Austin Wells is sitting, ideally it's, all right, your starting catcher is a left-handed hitter. He's your everyday guy. All right, fair enough. You hope he starts hitting. But on the days where he doesn't play, which is at least 1 or 2 days a week, you typically would plan that around, all right, you're facing a lefty today. We'll start our backup right-handed catcher today. Well, we don't have that option because our backup is J.C. Escobar, who I like, but he's a lefty. By default, there's a need to bring another catcher in here. Now, of course, with the struggles of Wells offensively, which is very disappointing, and it could change, just like it could change with Jazz, but we don't got to do the whole thing about Wells, but like, you know, every year we're previewing, but especially going into this year, is like, are we going to finally get the full Austin Wells breakout offensively? And so far, not only is that not the case, he's regressed offensively. He's been, you know, below league average against both lefties and righties, and last year he was actually above league average against lefties. He was decent against, and this year he's been putrid. So again, the need is already there by default to bring in a right-handed catcher off the bench. What I have an interesting thought about is not so much this. This is kind of like, you know, I want things to get better. I want them to get better right now. And no one, you know, a few years ago with Encarnacion, or shit, 7 years ago, that's crazy, 7 years ago now with the Encarnacion train being so early, I would like to think, if possible, they can get this deal done sooner rather than later. And by that, I mean maybe mid-June, end of June, early July. And the Twins, they're not out of it just yet, but the AL Central right now is so bad. We'll see if it stays that way. It very well could. But Jeffers is a free agent year's end. He should be made available at some point. The Yankees, I mean, it's something that I think actually will happen because it's such an obvious fit. With that said, though, I have something in mind, and I have a question to pose to you guys. Do you think there's a chance that to get this deal done, again, impending free agents, so there's not going to be a ton of value going back for Jeffers, although teams want catchers, so it's not going to take just a bag of balls. One-for-one deal, J.C. Escobar. Do you think that could be a potential situation where you lay it out to the Twins where, all right, we want Ryan Jeffers, and you can build a package around this, but the main, you know, meat and potatoes of a return, could it be, here's your starting catcher in J.C. Ascar for the next 5 years. Give us half a year of Ryan Jeffers. I actually do think legitimately so that could be a starting point in these trade talks. And with that, obviously, we get our guy in Jeffers and you take Ascar out, which no matter what, if you're bringing in Ascar, or excuse me, bringing in Jeffers, Ascar is either going to AAA or trading him out in some other deal. So with that in mind, I would think the Yankees probably would like to, if you're bringing in Jeffers or a catcher, like Ascar is going somewhere, whether it's AAA or another trade, include him in that deal. And was thinking about it, and I've talked to Beavs about this, I've talked to a couple people about this, just, you know, thinking out loud. I actually think value-wise, it makes total sense. Unless the Yankees, maybe on their own, would be a little bit hesitant to lose Ascar, but they're so good at developing, at least defensively, catchers. We've seen that time and time again now. We got catchers all over the league, as we know. And in the case of Jeffers, you bring him in, all right, we just want him. You got half a year control. That's your value, Twins. We'll give you 5 years of your potential starting catcher. Now, we'll see if that actually were to pan out with them, but once you ship him out and you get your guy, nobody really cares. I'll root for J.C. Ascar, but in the end, like, he doesn't have a role on this team. He just doesn't. Long-term, I think no matter what, and by long-term, I mean, you know, long-term this season, come the deadline or whatever, come October, you would like to think we're not going to be going into the postseason with two lefty catchers, Wells and Ascar. So I think no matter what, Ascar is not going to be in the picture come October. Who will be? Some sort of right-handed catcher. Ideally, it's Ryan Jeffers. There's other options out there as well, but yeah, no, I think that's an interesting thought. Let me know what you guys think, if that could possibly, you know, be a realistic situation where it's a one-for-one deal, or at least heavily led by a J.C. Ascar return to Minnesota. Anyways, with that in mind, I'm geared up for this year's trade deadline. I know we're so far away, but and the downside with the American League being so weak, although that, you know, definitely makes it so we have a hopefully an easy-ish lane, we'll see, to being the number one seed. We're not even first place right now in the East, so I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know, there could be a world where the Twins think they're in it and decide to keep Jeffers. That applies to, or decide to keep Jeffers. That applies to other teams as well. But anyways, nonetheless, it's not just the bullpen that we know is going to be upgraded. We know is going to be different come October via trades, via guys to the bullpen, from the rotation, and also, you know, call-ups here and there, whatever. That is going to happen. We're going to get acquisitions in this bullpen. But there's some other areas as well that I'm starting to think the Yankees, whether it be with Buster only speculation about Jazz at second base, going externally to bring in somebody, or just the true possibility of Lombard coming up at second base. Like, the team we're watching now, and at full health, I like this team a lot, but it's only going to get better with the bullpen, no doubt about it, getting improved. But also, if we could bring in a right-handed catcher in Jeffers, who, by the way, Jeffers has been so good. He has an over 300 average against lefties. So by, again, I keep saying by default, but that alone makes this trade make sense. But also, just in general, it gets to the point where he's so good in, like, across the grand scheme of things, righties and lefties, overall in the season, a 941 OPS, where, you know, we acquired, you know, when we first acquired Trent Grisham, did we ever anticipate he'd be our starting center fielder? No. When we acquired Jose Caballero, did we ever anticipate he'd be our starting shortstop? No. You bring in Ryan Jeffers, and while I do think, no matter what, and to a degree, still rightfully so, because of how he is with the pitching staff, Wells will be the everyday catcher. He'll, you know, you say we got Jeffers today, let's just say, for argument's sake, which won't happen, but Wells would start pretty much every day against righties. Jeffers would start against lefties. But if Wells were to continue to struggle, and then you have, in the case of this, Jeffers breathing down Wells' neck, he can get a start or two against righties. He hits, Wells doesn't. All of a sudden, before you know it, Ryan Jeffers is a starting game one of the postseason. It stays that way. So, you know, you get another guy into the fold, which, again, by default, we already need because of the two lefty catchers, which is not ideal. You know, that makes the team better already, but it would provide a little bit of competition for Wells, which could be good for him too. So I am, I mean, you can forget the sooner rather than later thing. That's just my ideal scenario here. But just really emphasizing home, we're going to continue to talk about this. Ryan Jeffers is legitimately a guy to go after, not just a thing where, you know, off season every week we'll come up with somebody new to, like, Yankees should go out and get, like, go get Corey Seager, go get Cy, like, whatever it may be. This is real. This is real. He should be available. The Yankees have a need for him, and I think the Yankees will try and do their best to go out and get him. So it should be an interesting trade deadline with the bullpen, with the possibility of second base, switching things up there, and catcher as well. So we know there's holes in this team, but we also have a very good core intact, especially once everybody's healthy. And, you know, come the return of Caballero, come the return of Jason, come the return of Stanton, obviously Cole in a couple weeks, we'll see what the deal is with Max Fried. You know, don't be twisted by, you know, a few losses here with this team this past week. We've lost 5 of 6. The offense is scuffling right now, but don't forget about the team that we loved so much a week ago, which is something we were talking about a lot yesterday. And that team is one that is very versatile, whether it be speed, power. We were, believe it or not, remember, hitting with runners in scoring position for a good portion of this season. We were, you know, winning games via, you know, scoring runs, not just by the long ball. So there's a lot of this team that we already like. It's already, you know, a foundation is laid for this team to then grab this, grab that, perfect this. And before you know it, not only are we the best team in the American League by comparing ourselves to our competition, but you truly can be like 1 through 26 in the roster, a team that compete with the Dodgers. And a move like Ryan, getting Ryan Jeffers and, you know, being open to changing things at second base if it's not working, just the idea of it gets me excited. But also, again, like, the foundation of this team is one that's really good. Don't get it twisted. And I know most people that watch the show know that, but you know how fans get it. It drives me insane. I like the response to my, I posted a short from yesterday's show about how, like, we all just need to chill out a little bit. Like, we know about the holes with this team. You know, we talked about it a lot. Sorry. You guys like my new intro music, by the way? Somebody said they liked it. Somebody said they didn't like it. I like it. I like a little morning jazz. But anyways, I think we got to chill out a little bit and understand, like, again, it's not football. It's a season. It's a sport that you're going to have a bad week. You're going to have losing stretches. We talked to this when things were going well. Like, there's going to be times where adversity comes. Like, don't let it forget. Don't let it lead you to forgetting how much we love this team. And the reason I say that now today is because, you know, we're talking about the possibility of upgrading certain areas. Like, what if we do upgrade those areas? The bullpen, we know by default will be upgraded, no doubt. But how excited would you be? Even the most doom and gloomers out there, I mean, what are you usually complaining about? Jazz at second base, Wells' offense behind the plate, which I'm with you. What if the Yankees go all in and upgrade those positions? Then we're really talking. Then you factor in our starting rotation, everything that we've already seen so far this year. I mean, it goes back to what we said going into this year, which is, yo, like, more pressure than ever to win based off of many things. Judge getting older, the pressure of not having won over the last 16 years, a potential lockout next year. You got to go all in. And this deadline is the most important of the Judge era, which they kind of get that way each year you don't win. But how cool would that be if the Yankees were just like, yo, this is the year, let's do it. And it doesn't necessarily mean a blockbuster deal for Bryce Harper. It means improve your catcher. Look at different options at second base and obviously the bullpen as well. But anyways, I think that's a very exciting possibility because it's real. It's a realistic thought. Maybe not so much of getting done sooner rather than later. But again, Edwin Encarnacion, nobody thought it was coming. Nobody thought it was coming. June 2019. Oh, good times. Good times. And then he started to shit himself in the postseason. After ALDS game two, he was good the first three games of the postseason. First two games of the postseason. But anyways, for now, that is neither here nor there. Let's get into a little Subway Series preview. And let me tell you, chat, this is a big one starting today for both teams. As we mentioned, the Yankees come in having lost 5 of 6. The Mets just swept the Tigers. And all of a sudden, you know, for us, things were going very well now because baseball over the last week, not so much. We're in a little bit of a scuffle offensively. The Mets, though, they called up A.J. Ewing, one of their top prospects, and what they were looking for was for him to give them a spark, and he's done that. He's been great through three games. They just swept Detroit, and all of a sudden, the Mets got a little bit of momentum here entering this Subway Series. And for full transparency, chat, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm a little bit nervous going to this series. Not so much about the Mets, but I'll give it to them. They often do play us well, no matter where they're at in the season. And, you know, they got a little bit of mojo. Our mojo has faded just for a minute, and that can easily come back with a win tonight. But, yeah, it's at Citi Field, three-game set, and obviously it's going to be loud, it's going to be rowdy, blah, 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 fans are going to be going nuts. That's like Judge today when he's asked to describe what the atmosphere is going to be like. Yeah, fans get into it, man. Yeah. The whole thing, like, yeah, thanks, Cap, appreciate it. I'm a little nervous going to this one because we just got to get back on track, yo. Got to get back on track. We know the Mets have been a disaster, but of course now they, you know, sort of figured it out a little bit before this series. And even if they had not, like, I would just, knowing how baseball works and, you know, what's that line? Ploof said it to me recently. It's like, if you're not already humble in baseball, you'll be humbled soon. And, you know, that's kind of happening with us. That'll happen to any team. The Dodgers lost 4 in a row at some point this week, too. But, you know, they kind of catch us at a good time for them, where we're struggling, we're without Stanton. And I'll tell you, there's a few things I'm looking for this series. First things first, I'm looking for Cam to drop some you-know-what tonight. I want Cam, and, you know, obviously, the expectation of every starter is that he will, because he's great. He leads baseball in ERA with a 1.35. Tonight will be Clay Holmes, by the way. Great pitching matchup in Game 1. Cam versus Clay Holmes, which for those who don't know, Clay Holmes this year, not the best ERA in baseball, that's Cam, but he's close. 1.86 ERA. First pitch, 7:15 on Apple TV, by the way. Apple TV tonight, Fox tomorrow. You know, it's a primetime series, so that's just how it rolls. But yeah, Apple TV tonight, Fox tomorrow. Then yes, an SNY on Sunday afternoon. But I'm looking for Cam to ball out tonight, obviously, and just set the tone right away. Take a game one victory. I do not want to lose game one, which I know it's so, you know, no shit. But like, you know, we kind of got to get back on track no matter who we're playing here, and you don't want it to snowball. And taking care of game one, kind of just like quieting the Mets fans down right away and like Cam do his thing, that would be awesome. Also, what I'm looking for too is Paul Goldschmidt to be starting. He does have a homer off Clay Holmes in his career. And, you know, with Stanton out, we need right-handed bats in the lineup. And Goldschmidt's been really good lately. He's got to be in the lineup today. And just in general until Stanton returns. We've talked about that at great length. But also too, if not, and just in general the series, at some point Spencer Jones will play. Now, it's too early to make any determinations about him, but for the most part, Jones has been as advertised regarding the strikeouts. He's been striking out a lot. Well, I also want him to be as advertised and give us a home run this series. I want Spencer Jones to go deep tonight or go deep tomorrow. At some point in the series, hit me a homer because he has to have an impact in this lineup. A lot of guys sort of have to make, you know, an impact. The ones we've all talked about, Jazz. Well, everybody. Everybody's got to turn it up a little bit. Even Judge is scuffling a little bit. Bellinger's been great, but not so much on the road. We got to hit. The Mets pitching, you know, this series will face, again, Clay Holmes tonight for them. Tomorrow is TBD, from what I've seen. Tomorrow is TBD. Still no update on Freed, by the way. I hate getting Twitter notifications that have nothing to do with the Yankees or, like, just pointless notifications. Anyways, TBD for the Mets tomorrow. We'll have Rodon on the bump in Game 2, making his second start. Obviously, Command was not there in his first start off the IL. Well, I'm a little nervous about Rodon tomorrow, not going to lie. And yeah, we're still waiting on who's going to be starting for the Mets. But then game three, you got Ryan Weathers versus Freddy Peralta. So the starters that we know we're facing are Clay Holmes tonight, Peralta on Sunday. Now, the Mets bullpen has been pretty shaky all season long. And you know the line about Freddy Peralta, he's five and fly Freddy. And the Yankees are really good at working at bats, really good at, for the most part, getting pitchers out early. I would like to think that's what they do on Sunday. But no matter what, whatever it is, whether it's getting the starter out early or getting to the bullpen, the Yankees got to hit this series, got to get back on track. And part of that is we need some production out of, you know, the spot that is a void of Giancarlo Stanton, a void of Jason Dominguez, and that is Spencer Jones, who I like a lot. But, you know, the strikeouts have been there. That's as advertised. That's okay. But they're okay as long as there's power that comes with it and offensive production that makes up for it. And we haven't gotten that so far just yet. Very small sample size, but kind of a, you know, pick-to-click or hope pick-to-click, optimistic pick-to-click. Jones, give me a homer this weekend. That would be huge. And, you know, ideally a big one. Or if it's in a blowout, word up. That's fine. Blowout on our end because, you know, then we're already chilling. But yeah, pitching-wise, Rodon Amar, a little nervous about that. Weathers, I'm feeling just really good about. I think he'll pitch well on Sunday. Again, the Mets offense has been brutal all year long. You know, I listened to the Rico Brogna podcast on WFAN with Evan Roberts, which obviously I'm not a Mets fan, but very few podcasts or just, you know, if you can get actual sports talk on WFAN these days, I'll take it. And I love Evan Roberts. He knows baseball. So I listen to him every night. And the term he always coins with this Mets offense this year is the LD offense, and that means limp blank offense. Well, not so much against Detroit the last 3 days since calling up AJ Ewing. They've turned it around a little bit. And Juan Soto will be in the lineup. He is he's fine. He had like a little foul ball off his foot and had to leave the game the other day, but he's all good. I think he might just be DHing. So you know, we'll see the return of, well, not the return. We're going to be at City, but you know, it's obviously a narrative. Yankees, since having lost Soto last winter, definitely have fared better than the Mets have. The Mets have been a disaster since Soto signed with them. But also in the same case with us, like, it still hasn't worked to a place where we can be like, oh, Soto, like, well, no, I can absolutely say he made the wrong decision. I think he regrets it a little bit, a lot of it probably, if he had to guess. But more so just from our standpoint, it's not a total celebration of like, oh, look at us without you. Well, we still haven't won. So it's not total onus just yet. Obviously, he has, I mean, I'm not even being a Yankee fan here, but anybody with a brain and knows how the human brain operates can understand that Soto probably at the very least, even if not feeling this way all the time, a natural human thought is to, you know, grass is always greener, should have done this, should have done that. And there would have been a world where if he re-signed with us, he had those thoughts about other teams too. Like, oh, I should have went there. So like, that's just how, you know, things work. But, you know, obviously I'm sure he regrets his decision a little bit. Not here to discuss that. With that said though, no matter where the Mets are at, whether they be in first place, not having swept Detroit, last place, worst record in baseball, which they no longer have, you know, this series kind of lives on its own. It's a very isolated thing where it's like, no matter how bad they are, no matter how good we are, the Mets can take care of business against us. I wouldn't predict that they will, but a week ago, I was like laughing at the idea of them possibly even winning a game this series. Now it's, all right, let's see what you got. Like, you know, again, not to be all judge here, but like the energy is going to be crazy. The fans are going to bring it. It's going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts. And right now, Mets fans are feeling pretty good, which is exciting. I was saying to my boys yesterday, my boy Sloak, and you know, he's always saying every Mets loss, he'd be like, don't count the Mets out. Season's going to start soon, blah, blah, blah. Now it kind of feels like the season is starting a little bit. You're seeing some teams getting hot. The Blue Jays, big walk-off win for them the other day. The Mets, like we just talked about, and Memorial Day is coming soon, which is always a line of demarcation of, all right, like here's, let's see where you're at come Memorial Day. Well, now all of a sudden, you know, teams are starting to find their mojo just a little bit. You anticipate at some point soon, you know, the Mariners are going to get going. There's going to be teams in the American League, whether it be the Blue Jays, a little bit of momentum after their walk-off win the other day, which, word up, bring it on. Like, now all of a sudden we may start to see teams get into the dance a little bit. In the case of the Mets, like, if I'm a Mets fan, I'd feel like, yeah, we're now back in it a little bit. And that's why, you know, this is such a critical series for both teams. Us, like, this is aside from just wanting to win the Subway Series. It's even I myself. Like, I don't have a rivalry with the Mets, but, like, Mets fans I find to be insufferable for the most part. I'm sure they feel the same way about me. Like, just the Subway Series and that aside, it's the Mets are, they have some mojo right now. The Yankees can stop that mojo, which I couldn't care less about that on their end, but if they were to get swept this series or lose 2 out of 3, all of a sudden they're back to really where they were, and, like, you know, it's kind of a deflating series for them after a really inflating series against Detroit. And for us, you know, we've lost five or six, and no matter what, after a bad loss until the very end, like, I will have to make myself acknowledge that it's baseball, and, you know, things can still be going well, but you could have a bad week. And that's what this is right now. The Yankees have had a bad week. There's going to be a time inevitably where they struggle and the offense wasn't hitting. We're in that time right now. Well, it's an easy also reminder of how baseball works when they win tonight or get back on track or score. You know, they score only 14 runs over 6 games in the road trip. They may score 14 runs in this series against the Mets in 3 games. And all of a sudden it's like, yep, there you go. It's baseball. Yanks are back. Not perfect, but, you know, it wasn't always going to stay that way. Just like it's always not always going to stay the way of success. Anyways, with that in mind, God forbid you lose a series. And tonight, I'm nervous about tonight, yo. If we win tonight, I'll be feeling much better. And, you know, we got Cam in the bump, so I do feel pretty good. But, you know, if you were to lose a series or, sorry, I got to check every notification because it might be freed. No, it's Slack. Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden it's like, yo, you're letting the snowball a little bit. You lose 5 of 6, that's acceptable. But then if you lose a series to the Mets, which no matter how hot they are and how respectful I can be in this conversation, giving them some credit here, it's, you should beat the Mets. You should sweep the Mets, honestly. Like, that's just kind of where I'm at. You know, speaking of teams getting hot, by the way, when are the Tigers going to get hot? I know they've been dealt with some tough blows, but getting swept by the Mets, even with A.J. Ewing, is a little ridiculous. But obviously, it's baseball. Things can happen. The Yankees are the better team. I don't even think a Mets fan would dispute that, even coming off of 3 straight wins against the Tigers. But I'm nervous. I'm a little bit nervous, just to be fully transparent, because I know how quickly things can snowball, and you could argue they already are snowballing, having lost 5 out of 6. And, you know, on our end with American League East, we're 2 games back of the Rays, who finally lost a game on Wednesday. They were off yesterday as well. Most teams were off yesterday. The Blue Jays were, the Rays were, we were. You know, I don't worry about the Rays long term. I always say, like, I'll play along, which I will. But in the end, like, I'd rather be in first place right now than have to, like, bank on at some point we will be back in first place. And you don't want that deficit to increase. Right now we enter play on Friday, 2 games back. And let's see really quick in live time who the Rays are playing this weekend, Jax. I'm not aware. And again, for those that are tuning in right now live, we still do not have an update on Max Fried and his MRI. Rays. The Rays are playing... The Blue Jays are playing the Tigers, by the way, so we'll see what goes on with them. The Rays are playing the Marlins. Son of a bitch. You know, the Marlins can play it pretty tough. We'll see what happens with that. But anyways, this is a big series. Critical Subway Series for both the Yankees and Mets. On its own, by default, like it always is, but also just, whether it be momentum or just, you know, the mojo going into it. The Mets want that mojo to continue. The Yankees want that mojo of losing to be eradicated. Now I sound like Emperor Palpatine. I was watching the Yanks were on AAA, the AAA Yanks, Rail Riders, were on Yes last night. And, like, I see George Lombard Jr. make, like, take a ball for it. It was a really good take, and I was like, good. Like Palpatine. Fell asleep watching Star Wars Episode 1 last night when Anakin was just a boy. And then I woke up 3 hours later and Episode 3 was on. He was about to turn to the dark side. I'm like, damn, shit really does change quick. And it's just like baseball, chat. That was baseball. You know, before you know it, we could be really hot. Before you know it, we could be really cold. Right now, I don't say really cold, but we've lost 5 out of 6. Let's end that tonight. Anyways, That's the main meats and potatoes of our show today here, Chad. Of course, we're 5 days a week. We're available on podcasts, all this and that. We will be live tonight for the watch party. First pitch is at 7:15 on Apple TV. Tomorrow's at 7:15 on Fox. Sunday's at 1:40 on Yes and SNY. We'll be live tonight at 7 for the watch party. We'll be live Saturday night at 7 for the watch party. Sunday, we will not be live. Dan Rourke Sr. says, I never come home anymore, so I got to make sure I watch that game with him on Sunday, which I want to do. So we won't be live on Sunday, but we'll be live tonight. We'll be live tomorrow. And yeah, a little housekeeping. Obviously, today's show, not based off me sleeping in. This was planned ahead of time. We went live at 9 today. And not going to lie, Chad, I really like going live at 9. I like going live at 8, too. I do that because I kind of have to. You know, I record at 8, do the show through, you know, between sharing links and everything through the end, like back end post-production through 9. Then I have to leave, go to the office. BT's usually around 11 or 11:30. And BT, I mean, baseball today. So it's very, like, you know, by the book schedule. That's why I go live at 8. But when I can go live at 9, like today, because I'm working from home, baseball today will be recording a little bit later, probably around 12, so it all works out. There may be days where we kind of go, like, 8 a.m. live this day, 9 a.m. this day. It'll either be 8 or it'll be 9. We do have the schedule now back up on the YouTube banner, so you'll always be aware of what's going on there. Also, some shirts I'm going to be sending out today. Got to get one out to my boy Ralph. Got to get one out to a couple of you as well. And with that said, we'll do another one here today because I'll ship them all out today. Just drop a comment. Any Yankee-related thought on today's stream in the YouTube comment section, not in the live chat. But any thought, not like, Dan, let me get the shirt. Or like, Dan, I love your channel. Although you can say that too. I guess it wouldn't hurt. Leave a like on the stream, but also any Yankee-related comment, and I'll do a random YouTube comment generator, and we'll pick a giveaway winner to win a Yankee shirt. And yes, the other two, I'm going to take care of those, get them shipped out today, this afternoon. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode. Everybody have a great Friday. It's a beautiful day outside. And yeah, we made it to the end of the week, or pretty much. You just got to get through one more day. And even if it's a tough day, chat, just get through it, and then we'll watch Yankee baseball later. And then the Yankees will make you even more miserable. Not actually. That's me being a shill. That's me being, no, the opposite of a shill. That's me being like a Yankee Twitter loser.
Oh, Yankees are just going to fucking lose.
Owned. Like my impression. Anyways, that's all I got, yo. Everybody have a great rest of your day. I'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock, for the watch party. And, yeah, have a great rest of your Friday. I'll see you later. Let's go, Yanks.